We are in the book of Mark. We continue in the book of Mark, chapter 1. And today's reading will be starting at verse 29, ending at 39. And another plug for The Chosen, the TV series. It is an app. And if you go wherever you get apps and you type in The Chosen TV series, it'll come up, and it's a free app. There is a almost 3-minute long commercial at the beginning of episode 2, but the scripture today is in episode 7, and I think they do a pretty good job of helping us envision this. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming their message in the synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I will throw my endorsement on that, the Chosen series as well. I am impressed with how well it follows the scripture and it stays historically connected. But what it also does is it fills in some of the unfilled areas, particularly in terms of the personalities of the people involved. Sometimes I think we have a series about the disciples, and it doesn't say that they have a personality, so they don't put one in when they eventually had to have one. And they do a very, very good job in this. I'm quite impressed with them. And I'm looking forward to the next season that is going to be coming up. I forget which network is going to pick it up, but it's being picked up by one of the TV networks. So today's scripture is interesting to me because it appeals to people who are ADHD. They didn't have that diagnosis when I was a child, but everybody knew I had it. They didn't need a diagnosis, and they didn't need to know what the definition was. I was really, really good at seeing things to do and doing them. Wasn't particularly good at doing them at the right time. I remember that I got a D on a test, and what all that happened is I answered the first 63 questions and got them all right, and then got distracted and was drawing pictures. And the test period ended, and I didn't have time to finish the test. It has happened to me in many jobs and in many situations that I end up doing something that isn't necessarily a bad thing, but doing it at the wrong time. And I think very clearly the key passage in that entire scripture Let us go to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do. He could have stayed in that area and just healed people and healed people and healed people. And what would have happened is people would have been coming from further and further and further and further away as the word spread that if you want to be healed, you just go and he'll heal you. Well, the problem is that that wasn't the mission. That's not what he was set out to do. Voltaire said that great is the enemy of the good, but management expert Jim Collins said good is the enemy of the great because we become used to making excuses. Well, it wasn't great, but I did what I was supposed to do. I was doing something that was worth doing, but you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. One of my favorite examples of that comes from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and a character named Yukon Cornelius. And they sang a song, Burl Ives sings, silver and gold. And he would throw his pick up into the air and the pick would stick in the ground and he would pick up the pick and what would he do? He'd lick it. And after he would lick it, he'd say, no gold. And the little dentist elf would say, any silver? He says, don't know, I was looking for gold. And he'd throw it up again, he'd put it down, he'd go, nope, no silver. And it always seemed he was looking for what he wasn't finding instead of finding what he was looking for. Does anybody remember how it ends? He throws his pick up into the air. The pick goes into the ground. He licks the pick and he says, peppermint, maybe that's what I've been looking for all along. Sometimes we lose sight of what we're looking for all along. In religious jargon, we call it vocation. Vocation is doing what you came to do, what Jesus just said right there. And it's not necessarily your best skill. Say, well, God must have wanted me to be this because I have the skill to do X. In the ministry, you know, one of the hardest things to do, but Rich and I share this burden, is you get a list and you're supposed to fill all the jobs in the church. And what I always do is, oh, finance. Oh, do we have any accountants? Sunday school teachers. Do we have any school teachers? And what actually pans out over time is you find out that it doesn't really work that way. I started out in 1992. That's a long time ago now. Best Sunday school teacher I ever had was a senior accountant for Plant and Moran. One of the best trustees I ever had worked for Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And my best stewardship chair I ever had was a farmer's widow named Parker Thornton. Parker Thornton, she wasn't much of a cook, and she made the worst iced tea maybe in the entire South. You could not drink this stuff. But she would give you or lend you anything you asked for, even if it was the shirt she was wearing, with one caveat. What was the caveat? Don't ask to drive her tractor. However, her generosity and hospitality were so powerful. When she stood up in the Hopewell Church and said, this is what we need, this is how it's going to happen, this is what we have to do, the people did it because Parker said so. She was meant to be. That was a vocation that she had. We get distracted by the things of the world. We tend to follow what's going on. There's a football game today. Did anybody know that? There's a football game today, and there are two guys that are really good at their job. One is Patrick Mahomes, and the other is Tom Brady. And many people are saying, man, they were born to be quarterbacks. May or may not be true. They're both really good, and I'm sure they're going to score lots of points today. Tom Brady is... I like Tom Brady, but he's a strange individual. He literally has formed his whole life around being an NFL quarterback. The way he breathes, the kind of water he drinks, what he eats at the exact time he eats it, the exercises, the everything that goes on. He obsesses about being a quarterback. And because of that, he has been in 9 of the 20 Super Bowls. Some ridiculous number like that. But does that mean it's what he was called to do? I'm just going to share a little bit personally about this. When I was in college, I gave a sermon at the youth group, the Wesley Foundation Fellowship thing, and people said, boy, you're pretty good at that. Have you ever thought of going into ministry? And I laughed. I said, have you seen my math score? I'm supposed to be an engineer. So I went on to be an engineer. My third year, I got an internship. Hated being an engineer so badly, I couldn't stand it. It's all machines and gauges and had nothing to do with people. So I started bargaining with God, and I said, okay, I can start doing a little youth ministry on the side if you'll show me a real job. So then I tried camping ministry. That's like ministry, right? Camping ministry. And I'm walking through camp, and I hear one of the counselors say, we have devotions today. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to point at you, and you say a number. And they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. See? Everybody counts at camp. And that was going to be their devotion. And I said, no, that's not going to be the devotion. So I took over the devotion, and I did the devotion. And a financial planner from Chicago was in the parent group that day, and he came to me and he says, I don't believe in this God stuff, but you've got a gift. What are you teaching water skiing for? So eventually I got the idea that God actually wanted me to go to seminary, so I did. And I have to tell you that I think I actually have more skills as an engineer than I do as a pastor, but sometimes you do what God tells you. I often laugh at the simplicity of the world when it gives advice. Has anybody ever heard, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life? Well, there's some truth to that. But what happened to Jonah when Jonah tried to do what he loved? He eventually had to go to Nineveh and do something that he didn't want to do. And God worked mightily through him. I think the mantra should be, have passion for what God calls you to do. Have passion for what God calls you to do. It turns everything backwards. Suddenly, it's not about making sure you use your time wisely and that you're doing something good and worthwhile, but it's you're a spoke in a bigger wheel. You're a catalyst for something more going on, and you become a part of God's plan instead of Him being a part of yours. And I think that's where it breaks down, right there in that moment. When you become a part of God's plan instead of asking Him to become part of yours, everything changes. Things begin to open up, and all of a sudden you're doing things that you're not capable of doing. You're having more of an impact than your skills or talents should yield, because you are part of something bigger. You're a part of a plan that has a divine beginning. Now, that doesn't mean that all of you should quit whatever you're doing today and go apply to Duke Divinity School. One, they don't have enough openings for y'all. And two, that's probably not what God is calling you to do. But that doesn't mean that God isn't calling you. God is calling you to do something. God is calling you to be a part of His plan. Just because you're doing something that's good, just because you're doing something that is worthwhile, doesn't mean that you're necessarily doing what you were made to do. I will confess, I think at the beginning I began to doubt what God was saying, because I said, if I do what I'm good at, I'll enjoy it more, right? I have to be honest, in retrospect, when you do what God wants you to do, you actually enjoy it more. Because you're doing what you were made to do. It becomes, I don't know how to say it. There's a serendipity to it. There's a synchronicity to it. Everything comes together. And comes together in a way that surprises you, because it's almost like Urkel. Did I do that? Sometimes I get involved in something and I do what God calls me to do and it works. And I'm shocked, because it's not something that I would have thought I could have done. But with God, it happens. So today I'm asking you to reflect a little bit. Are you doing things that are good? Or are you doing things that God wants you to do? Jesus could have stayed and healed people for His entire career, His entire life, and they would have come to Him. But He was called to go and preach, and He did. And it's made all the difference. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me now. Almighty God, we know that we have gifts and talents. Sometimes we'd rather have the talents that someone else has, but You've gifted each of us uniquely. You've given us abilities and aptitudes, and You've given us a heart for certain things. Help us to understand what it is that we are here for, what it is that You're calling us to do. Help us to truly understand. Because more than anything else, we would like to switch from asking You to be part of our plan to being a part of Your plan. Because we think that if we do, we'll not only know who we are and whose we are, but why we are here. And that's really what it means to be human in this world. So give us Your eyes to see and help us understand what we're here for. All God's people said, amen.